Andy, thanks indeed for inviting me. I think it's taken me about 4 years to come to St. Augustine's, and yet I'm not there, but I am there. So God bless you tremendously. Great that we can meet in this way in these uncertain times. Let me start by saying this, that the pandemic, this COVID-19, is threatening the entire world of the loss of life. In other words, it's threatening death. COVID-19, this new illness that can affect our lungs and our airways, and if our lungs and airways are affected, that means that your body will not get the oxygen that it needs, which means when you stop breathing, you die. That's the threat we're seeing all across the world. And in Britain now, I think we are, I'm told, the second highest in terms of deaths in the world, which is quite frightening. Now, breath is something soft, something intimate, something quiet. But breath is a sure sign of life. God's breath is that giving of life to humanity. And so the giving of breath suggests a reflection of his likeness, hence the story of creation. All the living things God made were made according to its kind, according to their kind, except for one, humankind, humanity, people. When God made humankind, he said this. He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Genesis 2 actually provides us with a closer look on this. The Lord God formed humankind of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And humankind became, as we say in Hebrew, nefesh chai, the living being, because God breathed that soft breath into humanity. We became living creatures. So here in Genesis, we can see the association between the likeness of God and the breath of God. I'm going to move very quickly from Genesis to Easter. I'm taking you on a tour of the Bible. I'm looking at three major events: creation, the cross, and I'm going to finish landing on Pentecost. So let's quickly look at the cross. Now, Jesus on the cross, on Calvary, hanging from this cross, bearing the sins of the world, says this: when it was finished, the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke both say that Jesus breathed his last. Mark 15 and Luke 23. Jesus breathed his last so that we, humankind, could breathe again. Breath had been threatened when we sinned against God in Genesis. God had a plan. In fact, in Genesis itself, we have what we call in theology proto-euangelion, the first gospel. God always had a plan to bring breath back into humanity. And so Jesus Christ, he came He lived, he suffered, he died, he rose again, and as Andy was saying earlier on, he ascended back to the Father, where he's seated on the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf. He's praying for us right now. Even with this pandemic, Jesus Christ is praying on our behalf. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That our Lord Jesus Christ is in prayer for us. Now, without overanalyzing the diction, Jesus' death was the atonement for the sins of the world. Jesus purchased righteousness for his people. We are now covered over with the robe of righteousness. And when God looks at us now, he doesn't see Julio. I'm glad he doesn't see Julio. But he sees Jesus in us because we have come to know him. Now let me finish with Pentecost. I'm taking you on a very whistle tour here of these three events. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples. They were overjoyed to see him. And Jesus then gave them the most important gift, the most precious gift. In fact, he gave them three gifts, but I don't have time to talk to you about all those gifts. He gave them the gift of purpose, the gift of power, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus then breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit," in John 20, verse 22. Here again we see the breath of God corresponding to the giving of the nature of God. There is a sanctifying effect to the breath of God. In receiving it, you are made to reflect God's likeness. On the cross, breath was made possible. On the day of Pentecost, breath was real. I spent quite a bit of time with a man that I taught in London, who is now an elder in New Zealand. And in his church, he's got two camps. You know, I don't know how many camps you have in your church. You always have different camps. In his church, he's got two camps. One camp is brethren, very strict and particular brethren. The other camp is Pentecostal, charismatic, as crazy as Julio. Okay, so those are the two camps. And they're trying to move forward as a church, as a united church. And he was saying to me, "Can you explain to me what happened in John when Jesus came and gave them the Holy Spirit and they received the Spirit? And then later in Acts, we see that the Holy Spirit came down and then they received the Spirit. So what's happening? Are there two events with two separate things going on there? What is going on?" And I didn't really want to give him too much confusion. So I don't know how many of you have had your birthdays in the lockdown. Mine is still to come, so I'm glad I might be able to get out and have a nice meal somewhere. But I've had my son, Isaiah. He had his birthday on the 8th in lockdown. It was kind of an interesting birthday. What we did is we're allowed to go out, as you know, in England. Now we're allowed to go out even more. So we went out to the shops for basic essentials, except we're buying him some presents as well. Came home, gave him his presents. Now, I was explaining to my friend in New Zealand that in John what was happening is God gave them the Holy Spirit. Are you with me so far? And what happened there is that the question we ask is not about how much of the Holy Spirit do we have. Jesus gave us all of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the whole Godhead lives in us. What was happening at Pentecost was totally different. It was actually now how much of us does the Holy Spirit have. Not how much of the Holy Spirit we have, but how much of us does the Spirit have. So one is the gift that was given. The other is the appropriation of that gift. And I want to just finish by saying this, that the breath of God gives us life, but the fruit of the Spirit demonstrates in us and to the world Christ-likeness. The Bible has the power through the work of the Holy Spirit to both teach and demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. And now the fruit of the Spirit is singular. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Jesus Christ demonstrated his love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, he died for us. And he loved his own to the end. So the question I want to ask you is this, and I'm going to finish with this question, and then I'll hand over to Andy. I was invited to Scotland. At that time, I used to live in London. Jumped on a plane at the city airport. Simon, you know where that is. That's close to where you used to live. And I arrived in Edinburgh, picked up a rented car, went to Dundee, where I was preaching. I got there, saw the senior pastor and some of his associate pastors, and said, "What are you going to preach for us this weekend?" I said, "Love." So they were expecting a massive, long-winded sermon from a black man. I got up on the pulpit that day and I said, "God love the world, and God is calling us to love one another. So therefore, go ye and do likewise." You know, go and love as Christ has loved. The sermon was done in less than 3 minutes. I think they thought they were shortchanged. But I want to tell you the power of that message was people got the message. It's about us applying the fruit of the Spirit, about us demonstrating love toward one another. I don't know if you've been doing acts of kindness towards one another in this pandemic, this unprecedented time, but God is calling us to love as he did. May God bless you all.